Well, we come this evening to question 67 of the Shorter Catechism. Which is the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And then question 68, what is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. Which is the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. What is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. Perhaps the first thing that should be said about this is that when it speaks about killing, and it speaks about life, what has been spoken about is human life. Animals are a resource which has been given by God to mankind. It has been given to us with a duty of care. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 25, that thou shalt not muzzle an ox when he treadeth out the corn. It says in Exodus chapter 23, thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. You shouldn't cook the young goat in the milk of the mother. In fact, that's repeated another two times. And these are illustrative of principles for all of life. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, Paul says, doth God care for oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? And the answer is this. The Lord says it for our sakes. But it is right that we care for our oxen. It is right that we take care of the animals which are given to us. They are a resource to be used, not to be abused, not to be neglected. And so this commandment, thou shalt not kill, doesn't justify vegetarianism or veganism as a choice because of a preference or because of a dietary concern. Vegetarianism or veganism is maybe okay, but it is not okay as an ideology. In fact, it's unbiblical as an ideology, because it is clear that the Lord has given us these animals, that we might utilise them in different ways, but including butchering them and eating them. Thou shalt not kill applies to mankind. And there's no other creature that has the same significance. We read in Genesis chapter 1, particularly because of the words in verse 26 and 27, where God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And the repeated emphasis in these verses is that we are made in the image of God. And that was not said of any other creature, because it is not true of any other creature. But when God made man, he became a living soul. So that when we die, and our bodies die, that soul does not cease to be. And that's the distinction between mankind and the creatures. When another creature dies, it ceases to be. Its animating power, its force is gone. But the soul shall endure forever. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And that applies at every stage of human life. which means it applies in the womb. In Exodus chapter 21, it tells us that if men are strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a woman who is carrying a child is injured, and that injury is endured by the child that is born, then the guilty person is to be punished accordingly. It's not because that child in the womb has potential personhood, but because the child in the womb is a person, a distinct person, distinct from the mother, distinct from the father. In fact, the child in the womb has cognitive and spiritual faculty, even in the womb. And you see that maybe most clearly in Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, when Mary, bearing the infant Lord, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we're told that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. The unborn John the Baptist recognized the unborn Saviour and responded accordingly. Thou shalt not kill. It applies at all points of life. It applies in the womb and it applies out of the womb. It applies where the end of life is drawing near. Even though the end of life is drawing near, that life is still to be preserved. This is in Proverbs 31. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. It's talking about the anaesthetising, the medical benefit that can be had from strong drink. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Take care of the one who is ready to perish. Tend to his wounds. Dull his pains. Regard, respect. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And what is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. So it speaks about human life at every stage. And it emphasises to us, of course, that life and death are God's sovereign prerogative. Remember, Jacob, he had two wives, didn't he? Rachel and Leah. And Leah had four children, and Rachel had none. And there was tension, and there was frustration. And Rachel complained to Jacob. And Jacob responded in chapter 13, verse 2, with anger. It says, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? He says, I can't give you a child. Only God can give life. And it's important we remember that. Conception can only take place through the working of God. Now, we can understand biologically what happens, but why it happens at that time and why it happens to form that individual is according to the providential purpose of God. What I want you to understand is this, that no child was ever a mistake. There may be much that can be considered to be a mistake about what happened. But the conception of the child was no mistake. Because no child is a mistake. We because the conception of the child takes place according to the purpose, the ruling of God himself. Life and death is God's sovereign prerogative. Remember the words that Hannah spoke, or Hannah's song that she sang in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and she's quoting Deuteronomy. She says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." God gives life, and it's God who at the end will decree the end of life. Remember Job's great expression of faith. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And again in Ecclesiastes, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war." When the end of life comes, the end of life comes. And there's no medical intervention that can prevent it. We are invincible until that day comes. We are invincible until it is time to depart. We're not to fight against God's providence, but we are to fight for life, to preserve life. And it's an obligation concerning our own life and the life of others. The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. You are to love your neighbour. You are to not walk on by, like the priest and the Levite did with the man who had been attacked by robbers when the Good Samaritan stopped to help. The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. What are these lawful endeavours? It means you're to live well. You're to take no unnecessary risk, because life is precious and it matters. You're not to hazard your own life, nor to hazard anyone else's life. Oftentimes we might be frustrated because it seems that health and safety legislation has gone over the top and it prevents you doing what you want to do. But the principle of health and safety legislation is sound. It's biblical. We are to take steps to ensure there is no unnecessary risk. We are to think it through to protect ourselves and others. You're not to drive carelessly, because driving carelessly hazards your own life and it hazards the lives of others. You're not to burn yourself out by staying up too late and getting up too early. You are rather to take care of yourself. You're to eat well. You're to nurture good health. You're not to be indulgent of yourself, and you're not to be indifferent to your bodily needs. The sixth commandment is, "Thou shalt not kill." And what is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. We've been thinking about the importance of preserving one's physical, temporal life, and that is appropriate and correct. But we must also recognise that there is a gospel aspect to this, isn't there? Because there is a greater death that needs to be avoided. And there is a life in all its fullness that we desire to enjoy, and not only that we enjoy, but others would enjoy. And so this commandment would bring us to see an obligation in preaching the gospel, to preserve our own life and the life of others. We must point to Jesus Christ as the only Saviour, the Saviour of sinners, the one who will deliver those who are on the edge of death, facing an eternal death under the wrath and judgment of God. The one who bids us to come to him and to believe. The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. But why does it say all lawful endeavours? Is there anything you could do to preserve your own life that wouldn't be lawful? Well, the answer is yes. Think of the martyrs. Those who are faced with a choice. Deny your Saviour or die. And it would be unlawful to deny your Saviour. You may preserve your life for a little time, but it is unlawful, it is wrong to deny your Saviour. And that's why so many of the martyrs became martyrs. They weren't almost martyrs. They did not preserve their life in the short term, but they preserved their life in the fullest expression of it, because they held to Christ, the one who their soul loved. But there are other examples too that would be an unlawful preserving of life. During the Second World War, men and women were called up to serve. And there would be some, particularly those who were likely to be heading to the front line, who would be very fearful. And there'd be some, perhaps, who would be tempted to find some military exemption, some medical exemption, rather, some mitigating circumstance that would prevent them having to take up arms. And potentially, by avoiding going to the front, one might save their lives, but that's unlawful to lie. And it's unlawful also not to stand and to defend your home, your family, your neighbour, yourself. See, the sixth commandment requires us to preserve life, but to preserve life in a lawful way. And of course, it's God's law that matters. It's not the national law. Our own national law is shameful in many ways. National law enshrines abortion. There's those who want the law to be changed to allow for euthanasia. It talks about the law here. It's law according to as God has given it. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And this, what is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. But then we can look a little too at question 69. What is forbidden in the sixth commandment? And the sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. What is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. It's interesting. We've just spoken there about lawful endeavours to preserve our life, and this now speaks about not taking away life unjustly, which suggests what the Bible asserts to be clear, that there are times when it is just to take away life. There are times when it is just to take away life. Abortion is wrong. Euthanasia is wrong. We are to preserve our own lives and the lives of our neighbours, and yet there are times when it is just to take away life. You say, when? Well, let me direct you to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, where the Lord is speaking to Noah. And Genesis 9 verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Murder is such an outrageous crime that the Bible requires that the murderer is put to death. The scripture makes a distinction between manslaughter and murder, the accidental killing, but where there is deliberate killing, the killer is to be put to death. Why? Because the killer has taken the life unlawfully of one made in the image of God, and that killer themselves is made in the image of God, and must be dealt with in this most solemn and severe way. It is not an easy thing, but it is a required thing. That there is a time when it is just that life is taken. That doesn't mean that we're allowed to take revenge. It certainly doesn't allow for vigilantes. But it does mean that there can be a judicial process which results in the execution of the killer. And I know there may be many concerns about the possibility of a miscarriage of justice. And it's necessary that steps are taken to avoid that, to ensure there is a clear and sound conviction. But a concern about a potential miscarriage of justice is not a basis to forbid the execution of the killer. In Romans 13, the Lord speaks about the civil magistrate. He says, he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. There are times when it is just to take away life. You see that in war as well. There is such a thing as a just war, where a nation rises up to defend itself, or where a nation rises up to defend the oppressed, because they have a responsibility not only for themselves, but they have a responsibility for others. And the course of war, of course, in the course of war, lives are lost. And while that is a tragedy, if it is a just war, then these lives have not been lost unjustly. It's interesting that in this nation, capital punishment was suspended in 1965 and abolished in 1969. Suspended, 65, abolished in 69. And yet that was the same time when abortion was brought in. As a nation, when we decided that it was no longer acceptable to execute a guilty killer, we also said it was acceptable to abort the unborn child in a womb. And these two laws are linked, because they both come from a failure to grasp the gravitas of life, the significance of life, the dignity of life, that it is God who has given, and it is God who has decreed, and God has given order. And if we reject God's order in the solemn responsibility that the state has in dealing with capital crimes, with a capital conviction, that nation has defied God, and there are consequences that will flow. And so in an attempt to save lives, the lawmakers embraced an abortion act that has cost millions of lives. Isn't that absurd? But it is absurd to rebel against God. And it is absurd to go your own way. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. What is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. And what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. And let me just conclude by speaking for a moment about that last phrase, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. What's that referring to? Well, in part, it's referring to anger. The sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. How does anger tend to take away life? Well, it's because of what anger is and what anger can reach. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said, you have heard, it was said by them of old time, they shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of that judgment. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the apostle expands on this, or opens this, and says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. What tendeth to the taking away of life is rage and anger. Not anger per se, but it's anger that becomes rage. Anger per se can be very useful. It's a right response to wrong. We should be angry about the Abortion Act. We should be angry about the proposal about euthanasia. We should be angry with our own failings and fallings before God. And that anger should motivate obedience. But that anger mustn't be allowed to develop into a rage and a hatred. That's what tendeth thereunto. Hatred. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. What is required in the sixth commandment? Sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. And what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. Amen.